Riding the rail. Being lost is a miserable feeling. Traders without a proven strategy know how confusing and unsettling it is because they feel lost every day. They find themselves in trades that don't work, they wonder why they took the trades, and they respond by making more bad trades. They act impetuously, but don't seem to know how to stop. These losers approach the market like a ship of drunken sailors on liberty. They have no objectives, and they get nowhere, except broke. Always have a plan. Trading without a plan reminds me of an experience I had as a teenager in rural Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I had several older male cousins who lived in the area, and I looked up to them in awe. Their slightly advanced years allowed them to do exciting things that I could only dream about doing. They dated cute girls, drove fast cars, sneaked a cigarette or a little beer now and then, and generally did all the things I secretly longed to do. I was the baby, the one tagging along and taking the brunt of the jokes. Consequently, I was always striving to show them how big and tough I really was. One summer's evening, I had my chance. I was visiting them, and we decided to have a little fun. The night began innocently enough. We went to Leland Lane's, the local bowling alley, and played a few games. I worked hard to hold my own with the older boys and felt important just to be included. After a couple of hours at the alley, we decided to call it a night and head for home. However, as we walked outside, the rumbling sound of a nearby freight train caught our attention. We walked closer to the track to get a better look at the long, slow-moving cars. The fascination of the rails was powerful. My cousins, Keith and Rod, suggested that we hop aboard and ride to the nearby trestle, like they used to do when they were kids. I had never jumped aboard a train, but it sounded exciting. I was both terrified and thrilled. My hands were sweating and my heart was racing. I reasoned with myself. It was just a train ride and the cars were moving pretty slowly. Surely I could jump aboard. No harm. This was going to be easy and it was going to be fun. Suddenly, my cousins grabbed a ladder on the side of an old rickety car and faded out of sight. I hesitated briefly. I was shaking, but the lure of the rail pulled me like a slab of metal to a giant magnet. If I did not jump aboard, I would be teased endlessly. Besides, I would miss all the fun. I had to take this ride. Quickly, without any more thought, I grabbed the next car and hopped on. All I thought about was boarding the train. I never gave a thought to what would happen next. Within seconds, I realized the seriousness of my actions. I could not see my cousins, and I had never been to the trestle where I was supposed to disembark. I did not know how far we were going to ride. I did not know how we were going to get home once we reached our destination. The bottom line was that I had no idea where I was going or what to do when I got there. In addition to all of my other problems, I was not properly dressed. I was wearing wingtip shoes that kept slipping off the old iron ladder, forcing me to continuously readjust myself. Just as soon as I positioned my feet firmly and securely, we hit a bump or executed a turn and my shoes slipped again. As the train cut through the night air, I realized how chilly I was and wished I had a jacket. The cold went all the way to my bones. The night was pitch black, and we were traveling through a thick pine forest. With the help of a little imagination, I saw wild animals and monsters behind every bush and tree. The train was going faster by the second, and I was getting more exhausted with every inch because I had to continuously work to stay aboard. I must have traveled at least 25 miles or more dangling off the side of that rusty old car. My fingers gripped the rungs tightly as I pondered my options. I thought about jumping off, but the ground was whizzing past me. Besides, now I did not know where I was. I held on for dear life. I was certain that something horrible was going to happen at any moment. For a long time, my fingers squeezed those rungs as I held tight and searched for that trestle. I listened for the voices of my cousins, hoping to hear them laughing in the next boxcar, but of course, I didn't hear a human sound. As time passed, I began to wonder if they were dead, fallen from the train and crushed by the rails. I was alone and there was no one to help me. I feared that I could not last long in my current position, especially with the increasing speed of the train. I decided to try to get into what I hoped would be a safer spot on the roof of the car. I carefully moved up the ladder one rung at a time. Slowly and deliberately, I inched my way to the top. Once there, I searched for some way to hold on to the train. I stretched my arms outward in an attempt to get a grip on something and hang on. I lay flat and held on as best I could. The wind was whipping all around me and I was terrified. My body kept sliding from side to side and the train was shaking ferociously and bouncing continuously. If the situation were not bad enough, I suddenly saw a tunnel in front of me. I kissed the roof of that car, pressed my body down, and prayed. I thought I was going to be squashed like a bug, painfully flattened on that old rusty, rattling piece of steel. I held my breath and tightly closed my eyes. I don't know how long I rode that train, but it seemed like hours before I caught a glimpse of some city lights. As I approached civilization, I looked for a landmark that I might recognize, something that could orient me to my surroundings. Finally, I saw a sign for the Jefferson Davis Hotel. I incorrectly assumed I was in Montgomery. When the train finally stopped, I was exhausted from the adrenaline racing through my veins, and my knees were very weak. Somehow, I managed to use my wobbly legs and jumped off. Then I just started walking, going nowhere but moving away from the tracks. I was so disoriented I could hardly think, let alone speak. I was quite a sight. My hair was coated in oil and grease, and it was sticking straight up. My face was black and coated with dirt and soot. My clothes were stained with dirt and rust, and I was trembling from the chilly night air. To add to my misery, I seriously feared that my cousins were dead, their bodies lying somewhere in those thick woods or mutilated on the tracks. I just kept walking away from the rail yard, dazed and trying to analyze the situation and come up with a plan. How could I get home without my father learning of my evening's activities? Dad did not put up with foolishness like this. I was in big trouble, really big trouble. All along, I thought I was in Montgomery, Alabama, but I was actually in another city 120 miles north of Montgomery. I was in Birmingham. I didn't get far from the track before a Birmingham police car pulled up beside me. The officers asked a lot of questions, and I'm sure that they were quite amused. It was clear that I would soon face Dad's wrath. Maybe my deceased cousins got the best deal after all. I had to call Dad and tell him the story. The policeman made me. There was no option. I told Dad that Keith and Rod were probably dead, and he acted as though they were. He refused to come get me or offer me any aid. I got not a word of sympathy. All he had to say to me was, "Get to the Greyhound station and ride the bus. I'm not driving to Birmingham tonight. You got yourself into this mess? Now get yourself out." All the way back, I thought about how I would explain to my aunts that their sons were dead, their mangled bodies lying somewhere in the piney woods between Tuscaloosa and Birmingham. I rued my audacious actions and I promised God that I would turn over a new leaf. That bus ride seemed to last for hours and my dread increased with each mile. When I finally walked into the house, I was fighting back the tears and my face was as long as that of an old hound dog. Much to my surprise, my cousins were waiting for me with plenty of jokes and comments. Even though they kidded me endlessly about catching the rail too slowly and being picked up by the police, I felt lucky to be alive and home. I was the dumb kid again, but it didn't seem so bad, not compared to the feelings of total helplessness and discomfort I experienced when I acted rashly without a plan. Being lost and powerless is not where you want to be. Plan strategically. Trading is a business, and like any other business, you need a plan. You can't afford to be lost in the woods. You would never launch a retail outlet or open a manufacturing facility without a plan, and you should not begin trading without one either. First, ask yourself a lot of financial questions and answer them honestly. How much money do you have to invest? Can you afford to lose it? How much money do you plan to make from your investment? Is that reasonable? Can you expect to make money right away? If not, when do you anticipate being profitable? Can you make more money elsewhere with your investment capital? What is your overall financial situation? Can you survive if you encounter problems with your trading? These are all important questions, so take your answers seriously. Also consider your temperament. Do you have the emotional ability to deal with the risk-taking and the feelings of loss? A trader must be a risk-taker. Trading is all about risk. Winning traders take calculated risks and put the odds in their favor. However, no trader is always right. You will make mistakes and you will have losing trades. You may even have a series of losing trades. How will you react to them? Can both your pocketbook and your emotional balance survive? How much time do you plan to devote to trading? Will you trade full-time or part-time? During what hours will you trade? How will you trade? Will you trade online and execute your own transactions, or will you use a broker? What vehicles will you trade? Do you want to trade futures, stocks, currencies, options? What are the different requirements of each, and what are the different risks and rewards? Most professions require training. Are you prepared, or do you need additional training? Where will you get that training, and what will be the cost? And training is not your only expense. What will your transaction costs be? How much margin will you need in your account? What will the equipment and trading programs cost? What other costs may be involved? These are some of the things that you need to consider. After determining the answers, write a plan that includes your total investment requirements, your profit targets, your loss allowances, your expenses, and your time. Don't be lost like a teenager riding the rails in the dark. Know where you are going and how you plan to get there. Strategically attack the market. A lot of traders enjoy being cowboys. They like the excitement of the ride, and they don't worry if they have not prepared themselves for the unpredictable nature of it. They don't worry, that is, until their capital is gone and they are out of the trading business. Trading is hard, and if you want to be a player for the long term, you must have objectives for your trading. You need an objective for every single trade. You can't just jump on board and hope for the best. When you watch the market, it is easy to act impulsively. A few indicators signal a direction, and before you know it, you've clicked the mouse and you're holding on to the seat of your pants while the market lunges up and down. If you have traded for very long, you've had this experience. Every trader has entered the market at inopportune times. The best way to control your thrill-seeking spirit is to have a plan of attack and execute it. My strategy for day trading futures and equities is a three-step system that I refer to as the three T's of trading: the tick, the trade, and the trend. I use this method to limit my risks and increase my profits. The three T's of trading. I trade multiple contracts, and I liquidate my position in sections depending on how the trade plays out. I call this approach the three T's of trading, and here's how it works. If I'm trading futures, I purchase a number of contracts. For the purpose of simplicity, assume I purchase 12 E-mini S&P futures contracts. My goal is to liquidate the first section, which could be one-third, two-thirds, or one-half, depending on the trade and the market conditions, of my positions with a small profit of only 3/4 of a point, or perhaps a point of profit. I refer to this part of the transaction as the tick portion. I only make a few ticks of profit. That means that in this particular example, if I start by taking off one-third of 12 contracts, I make about $37 or so per contract, or about $150. There are now 8 contracts remaining. The next step is what I call the trade portion of the position. I set my profit target 2 or 3 points above my point of entry, if the market will let me. If you remember the chapter on key numbers, you know that certain numbers are significant in every market. I locate the next key number where resistance will be anticipated, and I sell a second part of my position at that point. If the next area of expected resistance is 3 points above my entry point, I place a sell order at resistance or a tick in front of it. When that point is hit, I liquidate the second portion of my position, or in this case, another third, which is 4 more contracts, and pick up another $150 or so per contract for a total of $600 for the 4 contracts. Now I've sold 8 of my original 12 positions, and I've made a profit of $750. Now I am holding 4 contracts. This is the final part of my strategy, or the trend section of the trade. I try to hold these final contracts while managing my stop in hopes that the trend will continue. The S&P generally moves 10 to 16 points in a day. With a lot of planning and a little bit of luck, I can ride that trend and make some real good money on those remaining 4 contracts. I always use protective stops. Never trade without a stop. This is probably the 10th time I have stated this. Get my drift? It is that important. It is true that a stop is not a guarantee that you will be able to exit the market when and where you want. In a fast-moving market, your stop may be skipped, and the market may dive below your preferred exit level and leave you squirming. However, a stop protects you in most market conditions, and using stops is the most basic and easiest step that you can take to preserve your capital. When I enter the market, I know what my risks are with the trade. If I'm required to place a stop too far from my point of entry, I do not take the trade because the risk is too great. I wait for a better opportunity. If I take the trade, I put my stop slightly above or below the appropriate key number, depending, of course, on whether I am long or short. As the market moves in my direction, I adjust my stop accordingly. After the trade portion of my contracts has been executed, I move my stop to a break-even or better position and let the market finance my trade. Once you get to the point where the market is financing your trade, you're home free and can sit back and enjoy your profits. In order to use the three T's of trading approach, timing is very important. You want to select a time when the market is moving so that you will be able to liquidate a portion of your position very quickly. Hopefully, if you succeed in selecting the right time, you will enter the market just before it moves up or down, and you'll be able to liquidate the tick part of your trade very quickly. If the timing is right and the market is ready to move, within minutes you may also be out of the second part of your positions. Then you can sit back and enjoy what I like to call a free ride. Or, if there's a shift in the market or major support or resistance is encountered, just take your contracts to the market and your money to the bank. Do all trades work as well as the one just outlined? No. Sometimes the market will not give up anything. But some of them do work well. Other trades may partially work and you may get some small profits. The trick is to limit your losses and maximize your profits. You do not have to be right all of the time to win the trading game. However, you must exercise good money management all of the time. If you are wrong, you must have a plan for limiting losses and preserving capital. Chapter 7 discusses various aspects of risk management. The three T's of trading works for me for a number of reasons. First, every trader faces the powerful emotions of fear and greed. When we make a trade, we fear loss. We've all experienced it, and we know that it hurts. Likewise, we all know the power of greed. When we enter a trade, we hope for success and the monetary rewards it brings. We do not want to settle for a 2-point profit when we might get 10, 12, or 16 points. Yet we know that greed can all too often lead to our demise. The three-step process, as outlined, pays homage to both greed and fear. Because I fear that the market can move against me at any moment, I exit the first part of my positions quickly. By doing so, I have reduced my risk and made a small profit to cover any potential risk associated with my remaining contracts. If the market exhibits strong indicators that I am on the wrong side of the trade, I may be able to act quickly and exit my remaining positions with no loss or even a small profit. I am appeasing my fear by sacrificing a few contracts to it. I can also enjoy greed. If I have selected the right point of entry and I'm able to exit the first and second pieces of my positions profitably, I am holding my final portion with little to no risk. I've made enough money already to pay for the trade and cover any potential loss. I can sit back and let the market ride. If I have selected the right trading direction, I can enjoy watching the market move in my direction for hours and let my greed run wild. At any time when the market seems to really shift, I always have the option of exiting my positions and taking my profits. As the market moves in my direction, I adjust my stop and lock in profits. I'm comfortable with this trading strategy, and overall, it works well for me. I pick my points of entry and exit carefully. That is the reason that I watch time of day and key numbers so keenly. I want to enter the market when I have a good chance of getting a free ride. Use the three T's in trading stocks. It is clear that I enjoy trading futures. However, during my career, I've traded equities, options, currencies, commodities, bonds, and just about anything else that I could trade if and when I saw the right opportunity. Often, I trade stocks and I use the same three T's method. For example, I purchase 3,000 shares of eBay, Amazon, or some other stock. If I were going to take the trade down in thirds, I would employ the following strategy. Sell 1,000 shares very quickly and take only a small profit, say somewhere between 30 to 50 cents. In this way, I've made some money to help cover my potential downside. If the market turns against me and I suffer a loss on my remaining positions, I have some profit to offset the loss. If the trade keeps working, I liquidate my second third after a little larger profit, possibly between 50 to 70 cents per share. I try to get enough profit from the second third to put me in the position of being able to cover any loss that I may incur from my final positions. Once my downside is covered, I can follow the trend of the market because the market has covered my risk. I will place an arbitrary one even stop to protect myself and then adjust it as the trade goes in my favor, or not. When the trade does, in fact, go my way, I have a free ride and no money can be taken away from me. I love getting into a free ride position. There's no fear, and I can enjoy my win and my money. If you're a beginner, be careful with this approach. Do not trade large amounts of contracts until you're able to trade one or two contracts profitably. If you cannot trade small portions and make a little money or break even, you do not want to increase your contracts. If you do, you will only succeed in losing more money faster. It's like the concept of the business person who loses money on each widget sold. If more widgets are sold, the losses are not made up with increased volume. Tactically execute. Having a strategy is not enough to make you a winner. You must execute the strategy correctly. Sometimes traders have trouble following their own plans. They may get greedy or anxious and enter the market too early, or they may hesitate and wait too long. If you miss the optimum time for entering a trade, it is usually just best to sit back and wait for the next opportunity. The trade may have been successful if executed properly, but a slow entry can turn a winner into a loser. Because I use the three T's of trading, it is very important to execute my strategy at the right time. My trade zones are the times during the day when my strategy tends to work best. This is true because there is generally greatest volatility and liquidity during the zones. Once I enter a trade, I want to be able to take the tick portion, approximately one-third of my total positions, of my trade out of the market quickly, and my trade portion, approximately one-third of my total positions, out within a few minutes. Then I can sit back without any risk to my capital and follow the trend of the market with the final third or so of my positions. If I enter the market when there are few buyers and the market is not moving, I have to sit and wait. I risk my capital until traders step back into the market. Then the market may go my way or it may move against me. A slow market can be far more unpredictable for my method. In addition to picking the right time, you have to also be sure that you identify the applicable key numbers and use them to your advantage. Do not buy the market just below a key resistance number or sell it just above a key support number. Look carefully before you leap. Also use key numbers to identify your profit targets. If you're long and you know that the market is approaching a strong resistance level, you probably want to lighten your positions and take profits. If the resistance is extremely strong, you may want to exit your positions entirely and wait for resistance to be broken before entering on the long side. Not only must you enter the trade at the right time, but you must also exit it at the right time. Just because you want to make 6 points on the trade does not mean that you can meet that objective. The market may be unwilling to cooperate. You have to set and accept realistic goals and exit your positions when the goals are met. In years past, I thought I could dictate my wishes to the market. Several years back, when the average daily range was 20 points in the S&P, if I wanted 6 points of profit on an S&P futures contract, I just held on and waited for it. With the 20-point daily range, 6 points was possible. But the market changed and the daily range shrunk to about 11 points. My goal of 6 points of profit was too high. Perhaps I could have easily made 3 or 4 points, but not 6. More times than not, the market reversed before I got paid. It did not take me long to realize that I had to change my strategy to adapt to the market. Watch the market, read the tape, and accept what the market offers you. I am not suggesting that you sell yourself short and bail your trades too quickly, but be realistic about your profit expectations. Don't expect the moon on every trade. If you do, you will be very disappointed and very broke. Having realistic goals is the key. I remember going to high school dances as a teenager. If I went with reasonable expectations, I usually had a good time. But if I went expecting all the girls to fall down at my feet and everything to be exciting and ideal, I was disappointed and I came home feeling low. You can make a lot of money trading, but you won't do it with one trade or in one day. Keep expectations in line. Never forget to keep a close eye on your indicators. Even if key numbers are being broken and the time seems to be ideal, if the indicators are signaling caution, you had better heed their warnings. Check the New York Stock Exchange issues and the NASDAQ issues. What are they telling you? Look at the tick and the trend. Are they giving the same message as other indicators? How are the other markets doing? Does the Dow agree with the S&P? What about the DAX? If one or more of them is lagging and refusing to join the others, wait. That is a red flag alerting you to go slow and take a second look. I cannot tell you how many times I've been saved because I looked at the Dow or the DAX and noticed that it was not moving in agreement with the others. The lagging market was giving the true direction. The markets are very forgiving. They offer many opportunities to make money every day. If you miss one chance, wait and be patient. It may be a few minutes, it may be a few hours, or it may be a day or so, but the market will give you another opportunity. Just be patient. Keep your powder dry and wait. Many times trading is a patience game. Often traders think that just because they have the programs going on the computer and have been watching the screen for 2 hours, they have to trade. They feel that they've wasted their time if they don't get into the market. Trust me when I tell you, often the best action you can take is to stay out of the market. If the right setup is not there, you do not want to be there either. You want to have all of your money safely out of the market, and you want to be an observer. Always remember that not clicking that mouse may well be the wisest and best trading technique at your disposal. A final tactical issue to remember is that you must always limit losses. One chapter deals with risk management and preserving your capital. However, I want to mention it here because it's so important. If you want to stay in the trading game for very long, you have to preserve your capital. There will be times when you're certain that you're correct. You feel strongly that the market is going down, and you sell. But the market does not go down. Despite all reason and logic, it goes up. If the numbers tell you that you are wrong, listen and react accordingly. Just liquidate your positions and take your loss. You may not like it, but you may have to do it. Do not act foolishly and hold a losing position too long. Your losses will simply get greater and greater, and before you know it, your account will be decimated. So what if the market ultimately proves you right and goes down? You can always sell it at that time. If you keep your losses small, you'll be able to easily recoup them. If you stubbornly hold a losing position until you're taken to the cleaners, it may take days, weeks, or even months to get your money back. Proper risk management is very important. Never forget to treat it as such when executing your strategy. The markets are dynamic. Many beginning traders think that all they have to do is study the markets for a short time and find their secrets. That is, they think that they can identify something that will make money for them forever. They want some simple method or technique that is foolproof and will not change. Trust me, no such simple method exists because the markets are dynamic. They continuously change. A January market is usually quite different from a December market, and a July market is different still. If there is an international crisis or a wonderfully beneficial event or discovery, the market may change. In times of high inflation or deep recession, things will change. The trick is to read the market and understand so that you can change with it. Learn the basic principles and undermine our financial universe and learn how to use this information in the marketplace. The proper education and training should help you stay on the right side of the market, regardless of how it shifts. Winners attack the market strategically. They have a proven plan of action, and they execute their plan. My plan revolves around key numbers and advantageous times of day to trade. I also use major market indicators to determine the optimum time to trade. Then, I use a three-step approach. I purchase a block of futures or stock, and I liquidate my positions in portions. I take the first section out of the market after only a few ticks. Next, I take out the second part after a point or two of profit. Finally, I maximize my profits with my final contracts and try to follow the daily trend of the market. I always try to get paid, and I work hard to limit my losses. I have a definite plan, and I understand it and know that it works for me. But having a plan is not all that counts. You have to execute the plan correctly. Know when you will trade. Know the signals that will alert you to be long or short. Before you enter the market, know where you will take profits and where you will place your protective stops. Calculate your potential risk. At what point do you know that you are wrong? How much will you lose if you are wrong? If you're unable or unwilling to take the risk, do not take the trade. If you take the trade, manage it. Keep your potential loss as low as possible and maximize your profits. Do not hold on to a losing position because you're stubborn or because the market casts its hypnotic spell on you. Let the indicators and the numbers tell you when it's time to throw in the towel or time to take your profits or losses and move to the sidelines. Once you have a strategy and you've tested it, execute it. Do not be hesitant or fearful. Just be sure that you're executing it tactically and correctly. Some traders believe that all they need is a system. They will execute their system day in and day out, year in and year out. Let me assure you that that will not work. It will not work because the markets are dynamic. They are constantly changing. What you have to do is learn to read the markets and adapt to the changes. It takes education, patience, and persistence. I've traded for many years. I've gone through fabulously lucrative times when my trading seemed golden. On the flip side of that, I've gone through dark times when I felt like that foolish, impetuous, and unsure teenager jumping aboard that slow-moving freight train, lost in the midst of a dense, dark forest. But I've never given up. I know that the market is dynamic and ever-changing, but I change with it. I read the tape. I follow the numbers. I have my strategy, and I execute it. Overall, my trading method works for me and keeps me winning the game. Lessons learned. Have a proven strategy. Know how you will approach the market. Execute your strategy skillfully. Do not enter the market unless you know where you will take profits and where you will place protective stops. Always know your risk. Use a trading method that acknowledges both fear and greed and manages both. Remember that the markets are dynamic. Adjust your strategy when necessary.